we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program our friend from Hero Sports, the wonderful, the talented, the awesome Brian McLaughlin. Hello there, Brian.
Hey, Rich. How you doing from sunny Florida here?
Oh, man. You send a little of that our way, could you?
Yeah. Well, we got 82 down here today in the Tampa Bay area, so we're all in short sleeves and shorts just to rub it in a little bit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll be there in 6 months. We'll be there, too.
There you go. Yeah. That's when we'll be in Inferno. So, yeah, I'll trade with you then.
Well, from what I've been reading online, it doesn't sound like you've had a lot of chance to enjoy much of that weather because you had the proverbial nose to the grindstone studying recruiting for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm that crazy guy. And, you know, I turned around and looked at my kids, and my son's grown a beard, and I don't recognize him anymore. This, you know, one of those type deals. But yeah, it's very needle in a haystack until signing day, of course. And then we do get the press releases, and that helps a ton, of course, because the schools can't obviously publicize their recruits. But we are in the process of revealing our national, you know, top 50 schools and top 300 recruits by the end of today. And I've released the conference-by-conference work already. So, it's been intense, and I'm ready for it to be done.
Well, let's look at the CAA. Who did well based on what you've seen of their recruiting classes?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, James Madison did very well. I think that's become a recurring theme. Delaware has a great class. Villanova has a great class. They'll figure very prominently in the national team ranking. The one that jumps off the page that you wouldn't necessarily expect, I think, is Rhode Island. Mm. I mean, they got some kids. I'll tell you what they did. Down the stretch, you know, what happens with recruiting, especially at the FCS level, is we have kids who maybe waited too long, who held Power 5 and FBS, you know, Group of 5 offers, and they waited too long. I mean, those scholarship offers dry up. Maybe they were the third or fourth option, and the first two kids committed, and that leaves them kind of hanging out there. And all of a sudden, you have these kids with amazing recruiting resumes, if you want to call it that, that are sitting there, and they don't have an option. And Rhode Island took advantage of that this cycle down here in Florida. I mean, they went into Miami, they went into Orlando, and some of these kids are just, I mean, if they live up to their, you know, the hype that they had over the last year, it could get really interesting in Rhode Island, because they got a bunch of kids from down here that had ACC options, SEC options, and they're still kids. And, of course, big defensive linemen, which are hard to get, you know, really talented defensive linemen. So Rhode Island jumps off the page to me.
Well, in Rhode Island, too, I noticed over the weekend, not all that many FCS players invited to the NFL Combine, but three Rhode Island Rams.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? You know, I mean, Rhodey has struggled over the years. You know, I think they made some headway last year before injuries hit them. But, yeah, they have some individual talent, and they're going to have some draft picks this year. And it could be three. I think it's definitely going to be two, you know, with the Parker kid at receiver, and I think it's Murphy on the O-line without having it all in front of me. So, you know, on one end, we're talking about Rhode Island getting a lot of attention, you know, with the professional ranks. On the other end, they're going to get a lot of attention in you know, our individual rankings this week. I mean, it truly is impressive what they're doing.
Now, I know the last time you put out the rankings in the conference, you had Maine sitting at the bottom. Has that changed at all based on what they announced last week?
Not a whole lot. I you know, sorry to be the bearer of that news. I mean, I'll tell you, I base these rankings. I try to come up with a quantifiable method. I don't like the star system. It doesn't translate well to this level. And I basically set up a tiered point system based on offers received. And, you know, Freddie Brock, who's coming to Maine, you know, with the UMass decommit, he has a pretty nice recruiting resume. He would have been, you know, my highest guy coming from Maine. I think Shakira Smalls out of Philadelphia and Dorian Loyal out of Quebec You know, they had some options. But in general, you know, the CAA is a very competitive conference when it comes to getting recruits. And you have JMU, Delaware, and Villanova scooping up kids that had a lot of options in the MAC. They may have even had, one of the bottom half ACC teams after them. It's tough competition in that conference. And, you know, not everybody gets a boatload of FBS level kids. So, Maine has their recipe. It works. We saw that 2 years ago, or last fall, not 2 years ago. You know, what they do works. They have their hotbeds and they coach them up when they get there. And my method is not predictive. It is just reactive to what kind of scholarship offers the kids have.
Right. And does it include, because Maine's had two or three, well, look like pretty good FBS level transfers. Are they part of this, or are you looking purely at first year guys?
Yeah, I go with true freshmen, you know, incoming true freshmen, because we'll do transfer stuff later, but transfers will keep coming until the summer.
Right.
You know, I mean, we got, you know, there's a lot of JUCO kids who signed in December, mid-year guys that are already on campus getting ready for spring ball. There's guys that signed, you know, last week, and they're, you know, they'll continue to sign, and then we're going to have the post-spring ball transfers too. And, you know, some programs do really well going the transfer route, and that's their method to victory. But this is way more, you know, it's bringing in the guys who are going to be there 4 to 5 years. You know, that's basically what I break down.
Absolutely. What do you know? Because up here there's a lot of buzz about Montego Moss, Randy Moss's son, coming in from Maine. Do you know much about him?
You know, I don't, except those bloodlines. That tells you just about all you want to know. I mean, what a freak athlete he was, you know, going back to when he was a high school kid in West Virginia. So anybody with the name Moss, I'd be worried about if I was setting the coach against him.
Looking around the CAA, who's the best individual talent? Who do you rank as the top guy coming in from this recruiting class?
Yeah, here I go back to Rhode Island. This Wesley Neal kid, and again, I still think the hardest position to get a stud recruit, you know, at, whether it's SEC or FCS, is getting that unbelievable defensive lineman. That's why they're always rated so highly going into the draft, you know. And Rhode Island got Wesley Neal out of South Miami just in the last week, and he had 16 Power 5 offers, you know. There's a lot of reasons why a kid like that slips through. I got into that a second ago, but, you know, it could be a great thing sometimes. Sometimes it's just as simple as he did wait too long, or he was fourth on their pecking order, and I guess you could use the description, fell through the cracks, but he's going to be really high up in our individual rankings. Delaware got a defensive lineman, and Fintan Bros from Pennsylvania, he's really good. Dan, you got an offensive lineman named Tyler Stevens. All those guys are going to be really high up in our ranking.
Well, we don't want to steal the thunder of the release coming up at 5 o'clock today, but is there a team out there in the national picture that really surprised you guys with a strong recruiting class?
You know, for the second year in a row, I'm going to say Stephen F. Austin, because they don't have a lot to brag about recently, and yet Coach Carthel is doing it again, and his method, I met him at Southland Media Days, and I talked to him for a while out in the hallway about this, because a lot of the teams in the Southland go the JUCO route heavy, and he, you know, he's going to have to do that a little bit, but he really doesn't like building a program that way, and that goes back to him winning the national title at the B2 rank. So he's really been killing it. He and his staff have just been killing it in January, and they're going to be high up. Some of their kids are going to be really high up, and I really do think it's going to translate to what you see on the field. I think in 2 to 3 years, they will be, you know, one of those teams that makes the playoffs every year, I think, and really goes far during in the bracket.
And Brian, away from recruiting, what in the world is going on out in Utah, Weber State, that's had such a great run the last few years, apparently losing guys right and left in the transfer protocol. What's happening?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I'm not going to lie and say I have the perfect answer for it. I don't get it with the quarterback, with Jay Constantine, because I don't see somebody waiting in the wings about to take his job unless there's something going on with a, you know, P5, you know, guy who's going to transfer, and we just don't have that news yet. Maybe he does. The quarterback play at Weber State has been a little shaky.
Mm.
It's been like the one thing that, you know, and you guys saw them and, of course, knocked them off. But that's the one thing that you always kind of wonder about with them. And I do wonder if there's something waiting in the wings, some news we're going to find out here soon. But it doesn't really add up if you think about it, because there's been a lot of positives at Weber State. There's been a lot of good stuff going on there for a couple years. So sometimes we don't know everything, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. Well, if there's anybody you know, it would be you and the crew at Hero Sports. Hey, Brian, we appreciate it. As always, again, keep your eyes peeled. 5 o'clock, you're going to release the links on the national recruiting picture, and congratulations on great work, as always, getting all that together.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rich. We appreciate everything.
Good to have you back on with us again, and we'll talk before too long.
Yeah, it sounds good. We'll do it.
All right, thanks, Brian. Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports getting us rolling here on this Monday afternoon downtown program.